This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, with the fifth trumpet part two, the sixth trumpet, the little scroll, eating the scroll, and two witnesses. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Parents have been somewhat shocked to learn what their children are learning, especially not just about race or any of the other troubling ideas that have found themselves in our public school classrooms, but even about our own country, our own history. One might say that in some classrooms, American history is taught as kind of a polemic against America itself. Why is this, and are there better answers for our students? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about teaching history and government in public schools and a new curriculum standard. Joy Pullman joins us. She's executive editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Here's What Your Child's School Should Be Teaching About American History and Government. Joy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
First of all, thank you for attending our conference this last weekend and for putting up a couple stories about Bill Barr.
I have more coming. In fact, I actually went to the conference to in-person interview Päivi Räsänen, but that's forthcoming. I have a lot of material for that. So you can look forward to that whenever I can get it out.
Secondly, before we get started, yesterday during email comment line, Jeff and I referred to you as a pretty blonde when I said you came and sat down between me and Bill Barr. And he said, no, she's a redhead. So please settle this dispute between my boss and me.
You're both wrong. When I was a kid, I had blonde hair. I would call it decidedly brown now, and no one in the history of my entire, probably not very long life, has ever called me a redhead, so I don't know what's going on with Jeff. Sorry, Jeff. It's a man. It's okay. You don't have to be great about colors.
So if you would briefly describe the crisis in the public school classroom in America today.
Where do we start? I've been an education reporter pretty much my whole career, and so I've done a lot of reading, a lot of interviewing on the subject. I've read a lot of old books. I mean, you know, going back to the 1950s and even before that, in fact, I studied the history of American education in college and did some intensive courses on that. I mean, so if Americans have been really upset with their school system for at least a century now, and the criticisms, you know, have been enduring, and there's things have only gotten worse. So I think if you want to look at the root of it, I do think it's tied, as I quoted from the issues conference from Mr. Barr saying, I really do think the issues are deeply tied with the philosophical differences in American life that started a long time ago and have gotten really big. And that is the question of whether one really largely believes that there is a God and therefore a transcendent objective standard outside oneself that we ought to conform ourselves to for a happy life, which, by the way, is the American founders' vision and the reason and the guidance under which they set up public schools in America, largely under religious auspices. And then the second one is the one that has been completely dominant in American public education and life today, which is really a rejection of God and therefore of transcendent objective truth that we all must conform ourselves to. So the American school system today, I would say all of the things that we see going wrong with it. So whether it's racist curriculum, whether it's confusing children about the way that God made their bodies, you know, really obvious things, they all come down to, you know, whether God is God, whether there's an objective reality that we do not define, or whether man is the measure of all things and each individual is essentially his own God. So that comes out in the classroom, all the way down to even tiny things like the way that teachers teach. The most ineffective ways of teaching are actually those that are tied to the materialist, the relativist worldview. So for example, the idea of just having the teacher be what they call a guide on the side rather than a sage on the stage, that comes from the idea that children do not have a sin nature, that if you just let them free, they will, whatever they do that is natural will result in them learning and doing well, which is completely false. And if you start with the Christian understanding of a child, You know that he's made in God's image and in such has inestimable value, but also has a sin nature. And therefore, you have to guide the child consciously, directly, and head him towards, yes, a human ideal that is defined by God.
What is Common Core?
Well, I mean, at this point, so much water under the bridge since that. But Common Core was basically an attempt to bring all of American curricula and freedom in the classroom under a federalized guideline and blueprint in direct contravention of both American laws and its historical principles. So, for example, you know, the Constitution of the United States gives zero authority over education to the federal government, but the federal government funded this and oversaw and then wrote into its own accountability laws, so-called accountability laws, basically this nationalized scheme to take control of classrooms away from kids and give it over to many interlocking different systems of unelected experts over which parents can have basically no influence at all.
What have you learned in reading the so-called curriculum standards since Common Core?
I just gave you the big picture answer, but I guess the more technical answer is that, you know, it was a set of what they call curriculum standards. So it basically defines what a bunch of bureaucrats and educrats, most of whom have never spent a day in the classroom or proven that they are effective teachers, suppose and theorize that children should be learning in every subject and every grade level. Common Core specifically talked predominantly about math and English. And so as a part of reporting on that a number of years ago when it passed into place in 2010, to I would say 2015-16 was kind of the implementation phase, I read a lot of these sort of curriculum standards, which, by the way, are mandated by the federal government in order for states to get education funds. So outside of Common Core, there's all of these different state blueprints for what they allegedly want kids to be learning at every grade and every subject in every public school classroom. And the long and short of it is I've read a lot of them and they're terrible. And that's not just me. You know, there are people who are independent and verified curriculum and standards and testing experts who, you know, have also judged the majority of state education curriculum guidelines to be just utter trash. They're vague. They are hard to read. They are not tied to much, if any, legitimate research about, you know, what kids need to learn when and how they best do that. I mean, the best way to put it is that they're largely aspirational documents created by committees of people who are not accountable for their work. If these curriculum standards do not help children, there's no one who is punished for that, but everyone who worked on them gets paid. So as you would expect from kind of a bureaucrat committee thing for which there is no accountability, these are very low quality documents. They're a bunch of make work exercises that, you know, largely have been proven not to advance children's education. There've been a lot of studies done on, you know, about the fact that despite all the claims that these are so good for kids and they're really going to accelerate learning, la, 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 you've heard all the tripe. All of those are false. Most education standards do not improve instruction in the classroom. If anything, they make things worse and more by reducing the relationship between the teacher and the pupil and taking people away from academic excellence. So, you know, the two top things in the classroom, that teacher quality and what the kids are actually learning, are the two top things that really actually help kids learn, and education standards degrade both of those.
What is, by contrast, the American Birthright Curriculum Blueprint?
So a group of scholars kind of coordinated by the National Association of Scholars, which is a very well-respected organization of legitimate subject matter scholars, most of them. I mean, so the National Association of Scholars is largely a group of subject matter experts who are professors. We all know, I think a lot of our readers know, that there's a lot of professors who haven't earned the title. Well, the folks affiliated with this organization have, and they are well respected as actual academics in legitimate fields of study. And so they coordinated 50 to 70 people to put together a very unusual blueprint for what they recommend that kids learn K-12 in American public schools in the subjects of American history and civics and governance. So I read the document myself. It's maybe 100 pages long, maybe 110. It took me a little while to go through it, but the very striking thing about it was how different it is from most of the bureaucratic things I just trashed talking about to you. It gives very, very specific and clear things for what it recommends that children learn and why. I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just remembering from reading, it gives specific names, dates, places, concepts. So for example, the young children are to learn about American holidays, the histories behind them, and what their meaning is to the country, and be able to tell that. That's a common thing for young children. I mean, the middle and high school students, they give in very extensive recommendations for reading primary source documents, especially in those grades, which are just really, I mean, they're excellent. You know, I looked at it and I've gotten a decent education, but there's many things in there that I haven't read and would love to. And so, you know, as I read through it, I thought this is not only a wonderful blueprint for an institution such as schools, school districts, states, to adopt for their curriculum guidelines for these subjects, but also for individuals, for homeschool families, for people like me who I'm still an American citizen, even though I'm not in school. And I do want to keep learning more about my country and about its ideals and to continually be a better citizen. And their resources are in that document for all of us to be able to give us true expert guidance about how to do that ourselves.
Joy Pullman is our guest. We are talking about teaching history and government in public schools and a new curriculum standard. We'll discuss how it is also an educational philosophy after this.
Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a slide rule is for.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, with the Fifth Trumpet Part 2, the Sixth Trumpet, the Little Scroll, Eating the Scroll, and Two Witnesses. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Times of war have caused people throughout history to ask questions about the existence of God and the existence of evil. And yet we must confess that even amidst the terrors of war, God remains God. Nothing happens that he does not, at the very least, allow. If you've wondered these very things, especially as you've watched the war in Ukraine, you might find some of the answers you're looking for in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, Church and State in a Time of War. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or our website witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com. The teaching of history and government in public schools is our topic. Joy Pullman, author of The Education Invasion, is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. You'll find a proper view of American history and government at Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran School provides a classical Lutheran education for pre-K through 12th grades. They also offer online classes for high school students worldwide. Learn more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Joy, you say that the American Birthright curriculum is not just a curriculum outline, it is also an American educational philosophy. What do you mean by that?
If folks just look up this document, it's freely available online. I'm sure you can find it by going to nas.org. That's the National Association of Scholars website. Instead of just solely giving guidelines for what kids and adults could learn at all grades about their American heritage. The introduction, which, you know, if you're not going to read all of those pages like I did, you know, the introduction is only a few pages long, maybe 3 to 5, and it's wonderful. It really summarizes, and this is one of the things that's so lost in all the, you know, if you can almost tell the quality and the merit of something by whether it goes directly to the heart of the matter or just talks about vague technicalities. So that introduction talks about why Americans ought to learn their history, their heritage, and pass that down to their children, and how that hasn't been happening, and how that creates an existential crisis for our nation as it would any nation. Because if you take children who know nothing, ask me and how I know, I have a few children, you know, they come into the world knowing basically nothing. And it is incumbent upon their ancestors, starting with their parents, to transmit to them both the good and the bad about, you know, what their civilization is and has done and why. So that to give the children an insight into human nature, into the heritage of which they are part, the society that they are being born into, that they are contributing to by their very existence, or ideally would in their lives. And so this document talks about all of those things in very clear and stirring language. And it's a wonderful read for anyone who really wants to be a patriot, who is a patriot, and who doesn't believe the smears against patriotism that have become popular and are really dangerous to our national culture. Because once you lose a sense of civic identity, you know, lose eventually the entire nation itself. If we don't have an identity that binds us together and gives us a common ground to work together and to solve our national problems and to keep, you know, achieving as a civilization, improving upon our history, then at that point, the nation really dissolves.
Contrast that educational philosophy you just described in the American Birthright with the one common in the classroom today.
Right. So I mentioned earlier how, I mean, the common, if you look at, for example, as I've done, teacher certification rules in whatever state, if you look at the list of classes that people take in order to earn a teaching degree or speak to teachers, as I've done many, many times, the dominant theories about teaching children in the classroom are ineffective because they do not align with what human nature is like. So as I mentioned, they all stem from that relativism that places human beings into the seat of God and therefore leads, you know, as we see in our society, to straight to chaos. You know, when man, who is limited and fallen, decides that he can take the place of God, well, quite frankly, chaos results. And that's why we have chaos in our society, because people refuse to acknowledge the authority of things outside of themselves and to which, you know, they ought to conform their lives. So in the classroom, this not only results in chaos in society, but also within the classroom as well. So if you see schools, for example, pulling back from discipline, sending children to restoration circles and therapy and running them in and out of bureaucratic hoops, basically, you know, whenever they refuse to discipline themselves and show respect to other people. You know, you see this in the curriculum where there, you know, there is very little set, coherent, and forthrightly system of study. There is very little to no definition of what is at the core of what a child ought to learn to be an educated American. There's just chaos everywhere you look, and as opposed to a systematically set forth understanding of, we prioritize these things, here's why we do this, and here's why we spend our time in this and not that. And that's what's provided by this American Birthright document. It does exactly what it should, which you know, most of these do not do. And it's a really excellent document. I think it's apparent to anyone who would read it. The quality of the thought comes through just in the clarity of the language and the purpose that it sets forth for, you know, what our education system really exists and was set up to do, which is produce self-governing Americans. I mean, America is historically known by its self-governance, and that self-governance should extend to all areas of our life and be taught as a model to children. And that is done, you know, throughout the guidelines in this document, but not in the average classroom today.
How then can parents encourage their local school board to adopt better curriculum standards?
The American Birthright was designed specifically so parents can take it to a local school board, to a state board of education, to their local school itself, not just their district, you know, to whatever entity that they can appeal to and say, look, this is better than anything and everything that's pretty much available to you on this subject. There can't be too much legitimate criticism of adopting this document in place of what most schools have now. I mean, there are some isolated schools and school systems, such as, for example, various charter schools that I've looked at that do have defined courses of study that also are excellent. So in those rare and isolated cases, you might say, well, we'll stick with what we've got. It fits for our locale. But in the vast majority of cases, the alternative to using this document is clearly worse than it. So, you know, you would immediately improve the instruction in a school or district or a state by switching over to the American Birthright kind of set program of study. And that, again, that's very clear from reading it. And so, you know, it really empowers parents to be able to, they have, rather than just saying, we don't like what the school is doing, you know, we see that it's flawed in this way, we see that's flawed in this, that way. You know, what parents have really been missing to this point was, well, what's your alternative? What should we do instead? And it's, you know, it's very easy. I mean, obviously you could say, well, stop racism. Don't teach that. I mean, that's a good start. But also the problems in American civic education go a lot deeper than just pitting Americans of different skin colors against each other. And this document really creates a holistic, you know, really excellent standard of academics in this subject matter to aim at. And it's freely available to anyone who wants to do it. So it's really a triumph of American creativity and honestly, an act of civic responsibility and for these scholars to have provided this gift to Americans to now be able to use it for themselves.
Joy Pullman is executive editor of The Federalist. She is author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled, Here's What Your Child's School Should Be Teaching About American History and Government. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Peter Bender respond to your questions and comments on the St. Peter Option, Living as Exiles in a Foreign Land. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Send an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or post your comment at facebook.com/issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.